Let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 11, Luke chapter 11, verse 27. That's found in page 1007 in your pew Bibles. Page 1007 in your pew Bibles. Luke chapter 11, and we'll be looking at verses 27 and 28. Verses 27 and 28, and of course, various passages from God's Word tonight. Not the typical Christmas season or Advent season text, but you'll see the connection, I'm certain. Luke chapter 11, verse 27. As Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd called out, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." He replied, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." This is God's word. Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, we thank you for your word tonight. We ask that by your Spirit, you would convict us of sin. You would renew us in the wonder of your grace, that you would empower us to take up the word and obey it, and that you would be glorified in us. Hear our prayer, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Christian, could it be that you are more blessed than Mary? Or at least as blessed as Mary? Could it be? I know we sing of the Virgin Mary and the blessedness of Mary, but could it be that you are as blessed as Mary is, seated here tonight in this sanctuary, that you are just as blessed as Mary? Could it be? Now, maybe you're thinking, no, it can't be. I know my life, it's a misery. No, I don't know what your life is like, but undoubtedly, you may not compare yourself to Mary, the servant of the Lord. But Jonathan Edwards, and we have a Jonathan Edward here in the church, but Jonathan Edwards really arrested this title and this text to my own attention. I was reading him. And he entitled a section of his writing, "To Be More Blessed Than Mary." To be more blessed than Mary. And that might be controversial for some, especially if you come out of the Roman Catholic tradition, obviously, and from other traditions as well, like the Eastern Orthodox Church. But I believe Jesus makes the case for that all those who hear the word of God and put it into practice are as blessed as Mary. But let's go into the word. Let's dive into the word that is before us tonight. Now, undoubtedly, blessed is the mother of Jesus. There is no doubt that Mary is blessed because the Christmas connection is clear as you hear the voice of Elizabeth declare, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear." You are blessed, Mary, and more importantly, the child which you bear is blessed. You are happy, Mary, among all women. You are the happiest. And even Mary sang in the Magnificat in Luke chapter 1:48, "For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed," along with this woman in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that already happening, where a woman from the crowd is saying that the mother of Jesus is blessed. She is blessed to have such a son. Blessed to have such a son. But the question is, why is this woman declaring the blessedness of Mother Mary? Why is this woman declaring the blessedness of Mother Mary? Because she seems to come out of nowhere. In verse 27, you see that as Jesus was saying these things, so he's teaching, you'll find that about Beelzebub, and there's some other things about demons. If they've been expelled, seven will come back, and everybody is scratching their heads as they're listening to Jesus with these complicated teaching. And all of a sudden, a woman says, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." So the question is, why is this woman declaring the blessedness of Mother Mary or the mother of Jesus? Was it because of Jesus' preaching prowess? Because we know that the Lord Jesus Christ was one of the great preachers in all of the church's history. He could preach to crowds all day long, up to 20,000 men in the audience, and women and children. An amazing preaching voice and preaching ministry. Or was it because of Jesus' miraculous signs? He was the miracle worker, was he not? She was undoubtedly familiar with his ministry. She's actually captivated by his ministry. She's there in the crowd while the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching. Was it because of Jesus' magnificent response to his detractors or to his naysayers who challenged him, and he always came back with a zinger? Was it because of that? Or was it because she believed Jesus to be the Messiah, the Mashiach, the Christ, that he is the anointed one promised to David so many years ago, and here he is ministering among us, having signs and wonders and teaching as well? And what is the answer for us who are looking at our Bible? At God's word tonight, the answer is, we have no idea. I know we want a different answer than that, but we do not have any idea about the motives of which this woman came about saying, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." But I do think the messianic reference is most likely the best case, that she believed Jesus to be the Messiah. Because think of it. Every woman, if you're a Jew, your Jewishness comes through your mother. And if you go to the beginning of the story of the Bible, we know that the promise to crush the serpent's head was promised to the woman, that her seed, right, would crush the serpent's head and the serpent would bruise his heel. We know that. And motherhood is extremely important in the redemptive historical narrative of the Old Testament. And again, God is taking barren women and making them fertile. And through those women, he is bringing about his nation, his people, his prophets, his kings. And so it would make sense, if we look at the bigger context of God's word, that this woman most likely has in mind the idea of the Messiah, along with many that were in the crowd, that Jesus was the promised Messiah from the house of David. But that's about as close as we can come. But Jesus responds, although Mary is blessed among women, for she was the one that God chose to bring about the wonder of the incarnation and the full true humanity of Jesus Christ, so that he would be the sacrifice for sin. Undoubtedly, she is blessed among all women. And yet Jesus uses this moment like an exacting teacher, an effective teacher, to turn it. Now let's look at verse 28 again. He replied, "Blessed rather..." So he's using the same word. Blessed, happy, rather, are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Blessed, rather, are those who hear the word of God and obey it. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to you and I tonight, blessed are you who hear and obey God's word. Just as blessed as Mary. So let's dive into that understanding of hear the word of God and obey it. What we do know from the wider context of God's word is happy are you, or those who meditate on the word of God. The entire Psalter, the 150 Psalms of the word of God, begin with Psalm 1. And the psalmist says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of God, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. Whatever he does prospers. That's how the Psalter begins. This idea of a man meditating on the word day and night, ruminating on the word day and night, chewing the cud of the word day and night. He is a man fixed upon God. A man who does not take his sight away from the living God. A man that as he lives under the sun and under the moon and under the stars, he knows that he lives under the shadow and the wing of God Almighty. And so he meditates on his word day and night. And any man who meditates on the word day and night is a man who delights in the word. Does he not? Does she not delight to hear the word of God? The psalmist in Psalm 112, verse 1 says, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. Blessed is that man. Happy is that man who delights to hear the word of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, tonight, do you delight? Brothers and sisters, tonight, do you delight in the word of God, in the word of the Lord, in his commands? Or has your heart grown cold? Have you neglected the daily hearing of the word of God? How are you struggling? Are you meditating? Are you breathing in and out the word? Are you taking time to be holy, to be separate, to be alone with God, so that you can meditate on the word day and night, so that you can delight in the word of God, which is to delight in God, is it not? Because the word of God is simply God speaking to you, to me, to his people. And so those who delight in the word of God are delighters in God, in who he is and what he's done, in his promises and in his wondrous story of redemption and in the final consummation. Oh, the man who meditates, the woman who delights in the word of God, is one who can't wait for the end of the story and for the kingdom to be full, and for the king to come in, and for all his enemies to be defeated. Oh, how the man and the woman delights and meditates in the word of God. And I do believe Jesus is referring to that reality, that they hear and they do the word of God. And friend, if you have neglected the daily hearing of God's word, if you have neglected to take up the word and to chew upon it, to take time to be holy as you hear God speak to you through his word, there is simply one instruction: take up and read again. Take up and read again. Swipe away the dust, open the cover, and begin reading. And expect that God is speaking to you, his daughter, his son. Disciples that delight in God delight to do God's will.
simply put, disciples who are delighted in the Word of God, disciples who want to meditate on the Word day and night, are disciples who delight to do God's will, who delight to obey, who delight to put in practice the Word of God in their life. It's not merely for academic, intellectual pursuits, although those are necessary and good. But it is so that we would put them into practice. That we would put them into practice. And I believe Jesus is saying, happy are you. You who meditate and delight in the Word of God and who put it into practice, you're happy. You're a happy man. You're a happy woman. Jesus gets at an illustration in a wondrous story in Luke chapter 6. If your Bibles are open, you can go to Luke chapter 6, verse 47. It is also retold in Matthew chapter 7 as well, but we're going to be reading from Luke chapter 6, 47, where Jesus talks about putting the word into practice. Luke chapter 6, verse 47 says, I will show you what he is like, who comes to me and hears my word and puts it into practice. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundations on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built his house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. We know this story, don't we? We're to build our house upon the rock of Christ, not upon the sand of our own machinations and our own desires. And I would say this from this text is, unhappy will be those who simply say, Lord, Lord, on judgment day, but the fruit of obedience is absent. We see that in Matthew chapter 7. It's simply not good enough to use lip service in our life before God. It must be life service, not merely lip service. And I believe Jesus is saying here, happy will be those who are building their vocations, their homes, their education, and even their lives on Jesus. Your vocation, to build it upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ. How you perform your duties, how you speak the truth in the workplace, and how you conduct yourself in the relationships you are engaged in is a way we build our vocations upon the solid rock of the Word. And I believe this same Word gives instruction to our hearts as we go out into the workplace and into academia and into our homes and into our neighborhoods. And Jesus is simply saying, happy will be those who are building their lives on me. And so are you building your life upon the rock of Christ? Are you building your life, your identity, who you are on Christ? Can people say, that man is a Christian? That man is a lover of Christ? That man believes what he preaches? That man follows Jesus? Isn't that what Jesus is saying about this idea of obey? Because that language, obey, is actually better. Keep or follow. Keep, guard, hold on to. And it's a participle along with the hearing. They're both constant and ongoing and active. They're not one-time events. These are constant engagements with God and of a keeping or a following after God in all of life. Blessed is that man. Blessed is that woman. As blessed as Mary. As blessed as Mary. Because that man and that woman says, I am the Lord's servant, just like Mary. The man or the woman who delights in the word of God and puts it into practice, well, is like Mary, isn't he or she? I love what James says in James chapter 1, 22. He's so applicable and biting at the same time. And he says, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Again, don't be a mere listener. You can hear Jesus in these words, can't you? Don't be a mere listener. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. I love that illustration. Because simply put, the Christian life is an identity. It's who we are. And then he says this, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. He will be happy in what he does. And I do love how James says that the word of God gives freedom. That the law of God gives freedom. And what freedom has it given us, brothers and sisters? Has it not given us the freedom from guilt? The guilt of sin? Those offenses that were against God himself? It has. And also, he has given us freedom through the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit to have the power to resist sin. To resist sin. So blessed or happy is the woman who listens to him, who loves them and gave his life to them. Blessed is that man. Blessed is that woman who finds her whole identity, who finds his whole identity in God. And where does he develop that identity? Right here in the Word. Right here. God speaks. Amen, little guy. I love the shrill. But it's in the Word. And this Word is wondrous. Written in three different languages over 1,500 years with poetry and narrative and law and ceremonial and apocalyptic, so many different kinds of literature over such a long period of time where God was speaking to his people and how he continues to speak some 2,000 years after. Oh, friends, it is happiness to know that God is not silent. He's not silent. He's spoken. You can know him. You can know him objectively. You can know he loves you objectively. You can know that he loved you so much that he died for you objectively. You can know that he rose again from the dead objectively. This is not mythology. This is redemptive history. And how freeing is it that God speaks? That God speaks. For brothers and sisters, may we look intently at God's perfect law. And may this word renew, refresh your souls as it leads you into obedience. Because when God refreshes the soul, when the Spirit blows into the soul, the flames grow higher and we can't help but go out. We can't help but obey. But how often have we neglected the word so we did not have to obey? How many have done that in their life as Christians? neglected the word. And so we did not obey. Jesus wants his disciples to never neglect the word nor its application. The word is to be lived, because when God speaks, it's life. And people who are alive, they do. They act. They speak the truth. They exhibit kindness. They give. They take in. They get hurt. They heal. They obey. You know, friends, this Christmas, one of the most important things we can say is, happy is the man or the woman who has Christ in their hearts. That's way more important. You know, Jonathan Edwards, I got one quote from the guy. One quote from Jonathan Edwards. He said this: 'Tis more blessed to have Christ in the heart than in the womb. 'Tis more blessed to have Christ in the heart than in the womb. Blessed are you who have Christ in their hearts tonight. Blessed are you who know that Christ is reigning in you. Blessed are you. But I ask a question more broadly. Has the reign of Christ begun in your heart? Is he actually there, seated, ruling over you? Is the living Christ the light of your heart? I believe weighty, eternal, real happiness that cannot be crushed by circumstances or sin or shame or death is found in Jesus Christ. And I believe that with the conviction that has been given to me by the Holy Spirit, in Christ alone. May God the Father, along with God the Holy Spirit, delight your hearts all over again in God the Son, Jesus Christ, that the love of Christmas would be yours in abundance. Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, happy are the men and women who delight in your word and delight to live your word in dependence on the Holy Spirit. Oh, Father, we are weak in both our delighting and in our doing, but you are greater. Your grace is more magnificent than our failures. And so stir us up. Stir up those who have neglected your word. Father, impress upon them by your Spirit the need to take up and read, to take up and meditate, to devour the Word. And may they begin with the Gospels as they soak up the life, the ministry, the teachings, the sufferings, the crucifixion, death, resurrection, and ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may you ignite their joy that it would be in Jesus, a joy that is not temporary, but is for all eternity. Oh, Father, thank you for hearing and for listening. And we know you are active in working in us, your people, tonight. Amen.